Hey, it's Jonas Knox and Brady Quinn. Outkick the coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. And coming up on the Friday edition, what are we really supposed to do with Milwaukee's win over Brooklyn in the NBA playoffs? I mean, really? We've also got a guy in the Western Conference. He's not even a player. He's got his own action figure now. We've got a player in the NFL that has made a lot of people mad because of his COVID takes. We've got a quarterback situation in the NFL, a coach that has some regret. John Paul Morosi speaks full attention. Italian here on the show. It's unbelievable. And we've got John Harbaugh trying to tell you why he doesn't want you getting to see Lamar Jackson. All of that. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, Outkick the Coverage next year, Fox Sports Radio.
Outkick the Coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Friday, you are on the doorstep of your weekend, and we are happy to be your welcome mat. And we will take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on FSR. And we will do so with the man himself, Brady Quinn.
Some people call this the doormat, right? The doormat of the weekend. Yeah. Other call it the stoop. You know, other people call it the stoop. You're out having a drink or two, getting ready to go out, getting ready to have a nice little Friday. But a lot of stuff going on right now in sports. I know you're not a golf fan, but obviously the U.S. Open's going on. You got to explain the whole marine layer to me or just to people on the East Coast. I'm not sure we really understand how that works and why that would impact golf. But that's always a thing. And then, obviously, the Bucks coming back and doing what I think we thought they were going to do in Game 5. But now it ends up being a pivotal Game 7. So congrats to Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, who stepped up. He finally showed up to the party, being able to even up that series.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and just say this and get this right off the top. And I don't think this is a hot take. I think this is a fact. And I think this should be implemented immediately. If you were a Milwaukee Bucks fan at that game last night and you celebrated that team doing what they should have done against a body bag version of the Brooklyn Nets, then you should be arrested and put in jail for 2 weeks and never allowed back at a Bucks game ever again. That was embarrassing. Embarrassing. What are you celebrating? That you beat a C-plus version of this team? You should have done it the game before. Last night should have been the elimination game. You should have taken care of business. You've got all the health on your side. You've got all these advantages. And you got Bucks fans jumping for joy, celebrating like they accomplished something. All you did was what you should have done the previous game. I don't think they should be rewarded, and I think any fan that even so much as clapped their hands together just to get something off because they had a hot dog or a pretzel during the in-between quarters, whoever that fan is, if you clapped, if you celebrated the Bucks at that game, I want you never back in a stadium or arena ever again for the next 12 months. I'll take back the 2 weeks in jail. That seems a bit harsh, a bit much, but I will say never allowed back in a game again. What are you celebrating? Brady, honest to God, did anybody think Brooklyn was going to be able to rattle off two in a row against the Bucks with this version of their team? Come on, man. Like, I don't get it.
Maybe. I was kind of thinking to myself, if James Harden continues to get healthier, maybe there'll be a chance, but I don't get why he played. I don't. Like, I know he scored some more points. He shot a little bit better from the field. He is nowhere close to the version of James Harden that we're accustomed to seeing. And it was very apparent, by the way, that they were one-dimensional. The Nets had to play out of a half-court offense. They couldn't push the basketball. If they wanted to, they were going to be down a man. Like, they knew that James Harden was not going to be able to run the floor. And so it basically allowed the Bucks a chance to, yeah, I missed my shot. I don't need to hustle back. I'm just going to go ahead and wander my way down the court and get set up in our half-court defense because I know sure as hell James Harden's not pushing it. He can't right now with the way his hamstring is. So, look, I've got all the respect in the world. Anytime you know an athlete is playing injured or he's playing hurt and he's trying to play through it, especially in these circumstances, the reality is, though, that game was probably going to go the way you and I both thought Game 5 was going to go. And as we talked about, it would have made more sense to give him the night off, let him rest, hopefully be closer to what you're thinking is going to be, and 100%, you know, able to move around, take the ball to the bucket. Because right now, all he is a decoy. You know, he's a guy to give the ball to. Maybe he'll take a shot if it's wide open, but he can't create a shot like he used to. He's not going to go to the rim. He's apprehensive about that. He's a liability in defense, and he forces their hand offensively. If you are the Brooklyn Nets, if you're Steve Nash, by the way, a guy who was a two-time MVP as a player who probably capitalized off of transition buckets, fast breaks, dishing the basketball more than, you know, any other point guard during his time, especially his MVP years, would you sit there and go, yeah, I get it. He's trying to fight through it, but you're limiting us right now, man. And I'm sorry, but we'd rather go in another direction. We'd rather try to get Jeff Green to step up again, even though shooting 7 from 8 from 3 is tough to do, or Blake Griffin to step up again. I don't think that was the best strategy in Game 6. And now here's the hard part, is they're already handcuffed going into Game 7.
Yeah,
because you know how they're going to operate. You know how this game's going to go. And it comes down to three things, okay? Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and then Drew Holiday have to play the way they did last night. And then they obviously can't allow a performance, a historic performance, by the way, like what we saw from Kevin Durant. So if the betting odds are, you know, I assume, even though they're in Brooklyn, I assume, though, the Bucks will most likely be favored, at least based on how that game looked last night. I have a hard time believing we're going to see Durant do what he did in Game 5 and Game 7. I just do. There's a reason why it's historic.
Yeah, and that's why I look at this situation and I go, I mean, cool. I look, and it's not, and this isn't me saying big picture. By the way, the odds are currently out. This is pretty early on because obviously this game is a day away. It's going to be Saturday night, this Game 7, but it's basically around a pick 'em. Depending on where you look right now, you've got some books that have Brooklyn as a 1-point favorite. You've got another book that's got Milwaukee as a 1-point favorite. Right now, it's pick them. I would expect that's going to change. The only thing, I actually thought this, best case scenario, and this is going to sound nuts, but best case scenario for Brooklyn was they got blown out early on. And that way those guys could sit the entire second half. Like I would, if I was Steve Nash, although I shouldn't say this, and although I shouldn't, you know, this isn't what I want to project on my team or to my fans or the league or anything, I would have been better off getting annihilated by halftime and sitting those guys out and only playing them, you know, 20-something minutes the entire, or 20 minutes basically the entire game, and getting them ready with a bunch of rest going into that Game 7. Instead, Harden still played 40 minutes, man. And this is, like, a lot of people don't like James Harden because they think that his style of play is boring because he dribbles, he does the step back and all this stuff. Now that you see what it's like when he's compromised, don't you have a little bit more of an appreciation for how great of a scorer he actually was? Like, he's an all-time scorer. I don't think people actually think about that. He's an all-time scorer. The guy averaged 36 a game for an entire season, and two other guys in the history of the league have done that: Wilt Chamberlain and Michael Jordan. And the conversation around Harden is like, oh, yeah, but it's just, it's so boring. It's so, now that you see him at way less than 100%, I think there's a new appreciation for not only the grit, as you pointed out, because he's trying to play through this injury, but also the fact that what he does when he's 100% is unlike what we've seen from virtually anybody that's ever played in the NBA.
No, I'm with you. I think you've definitely come to appreciate what his game is when he's 100%. And that's why it's hard to watch what it is now. It's hard to watch it because your expectations are, okay, we're going to see him some sort of element of that. But he's so dependent upon, like, stop, start, and getting guys, you know, just getting that extra step on a guy to get by him, and you're just not going to see it right now. You know, and it seems like he's still in pain. He looks uncomfortable. And watching their offense, if the ball's not going to Durant and they're not isolating him to you know, get some sort of mid-range or see if he can get to the bucket, they're struggling to find someone else who can step up and kind of add that other element. And that's where, look, I'm not saying that, like, you shouldn't comprise a team of the big three, but you better have a few guys you feel like can play those role players. Like, I think now more than ever, you know, you start to appreciate some of those other, like, all-time role players for teams that have won championships. right? I mean, and I don't know if it's Ray Allen, for example, with the Heat. He had hit some big-time shots down the stretch there, and maybe he's even too good to be considered a role player. But
Shane Battier.
Shane Battier.
Yeah.
You can go on down the line. I think there's a number of those. You know, Udonis Haslam was definitely one of those players. I don't know that he always hit a big shot, but he was definitely a guy that was defensively, you know, getting rebounds, that sort of thing. You know, every team usually has one of those guys. Robert Horry, you know, had made his career off hitting big shots in big moments, but he was never the headline. So this is an example of they don't have that guy right now. You know, Harris has just completely disappeared in the playoffs as far as three-point shooting. You know, Blake Griffin, obviously, it was a great performance in Game 5, but he hasn't been able to replicate that. So it's tough to think that Brooklyn feels any momentum, even though they're coming at, you know, to Game 7 playing at home. All that being said, though, it's tough to bet against KD.
Cool. I mean, people can bet on him all they want. I'm telling you this right now. Like, the story here is Milwaukee's got all the pressure on him. Like, normally it's you go into a Game 7, and the team at home that's got to hold home court, that's the team that put together this big three, has got all the pressure on him. I think all the pressure is on Milwaukee. Brooklyn's got their out. Kyrie Irving's ankle almost fell off his body. James Harden has got a hamstring that looks like beef jerky in the middle of a Tijuana that's been sitting there after a mule came by and did work to it. Like, Kevin Durant, who's trying his all, he played 48 minutes in the previous game. He played another 40 here. Jeff Green was a no-show in this past game. And you bring up Joe Harris. Maybe I'm nuts, all right? But Joe Harris reminds me a lot of Teen Wolf. Right, just something about his mannerisms, something about the way he runs the floor. He reminds me of Teen Wolf if Teen Wolf had shorter hair. You know what I mean? Like, don't you get that impression when you're watching Joe Harris play basketball? That's the impression I get, Brady Quinn.
Teen Wolf. So when you look at Joe Harris, you think Teen Wolf.
Yeah, Teen Wolf. So do a side-by-side. It's literally Michael J. Fox's Teen Wolf and next to Joe Harris. I'm telling you, man, just their mannerisms, the way they run up and down the floor. I'm telling you, Joe Harris looks like Teen Wolf. He's got the headband going. He's got
a little less hairy, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen. I mean, you look, it's, you know, tomato, tomato. This is the way this goes.
Teen Wolf needs to have some sort of transformation then in Game 7. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, so what you're saying here on the air, so Brady Quinn, who was giving out betting advice here early on the air, you're taking the Brooklyn Nets in Game 7. I want to get this in pen. I want to put pen to paper right now, Brady Quinn. I want to make sure we've got this on the record. Let's go.
Yeah, look, I live by, there's a few betting rules out there, okay? Never bet against Nick Saban, never bet against Tom Brady, and then the final one is you never bet against Teen Wolf. So combined with
that's
KD.
Good. So, okay, very good.
Right now, I mean, like, I think this is as good as you're going to get that bet. Well, I guess if you're rooting for the Nets, you might want to wait a few more hours, because I do think there'll be some Bucks fans that come in unless they know what they're dealing with. Unless those Bucks fans are like, yeah, but we've watched this team all year. They could easily just fall apart in Brooklyn in Game 7, and Giannis ends up having a bad shooting night, and the rest is history. But maybe it's not as much about Giannis. Maybe it's just as much about Chris Middleton with the way he's played so far in the series. Maybe it's more about him. But either way, I do wonder what this line's going to do. I would say if you're really that bullish on KD and on the Nets, take it now. But I do think that number might actually end up being a point or two in the favor of the Bucks, just with the way the Nets have looked. I could be wrong, but I wouldn't be shocked if it did end that way.
He's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us on the iHeartRadio app, and we will take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific on the Friday edition. You know, it's like we always say, Brady Quinn, it's Quox Sports Radio on Fox Sports Radio. Know what I mean?
That's right.
Quinn and Knox?
That's right.
Damn right.
Quinn and Knox, baby. That's what you got to be careful. You got to say that slowly.
Absolutely. You do.
Right.
Yeah, you definitely do. All right. Coming up next here, though, there is somebody in the NFL that pissed off a whole lot of people. We will get into that for you next here on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Coming up in about 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. Just when you think you've seen it all, and just when you think you've heard it all in the world of sports, a star has been born, and we will get into all of that coming up here in a little bit. We'll call it 10 minutes from now, and I got to be honest with you, it actually pisses me off. It pisses me off. I want this, all right?
The only reason it pisses you off is because you want this to be your life. Like,
yes.
like your life hasn't worked out to where this has 100%. Happened to you.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. It's listen, so we will get into all that because it's very frustrating to be a part of coming up in a little over 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. Okay. So Cole Beasley, who, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, kind of flourishing since he left Dallas. So Cole Beasley decided, you know, man, a lot of people like him. A lot of people big fans of him. If you play fantasy football, I know you're not a fantasy football guy, Brady Quinn. That'll change this year. Sooner or later, I'll get you into it. Why would that change this year? You know, it's like at some point you probably didn't like booze, and then somebody finally got to you, and the rest was history. I think I'm going to be able to get you into fantasy football at some point. But Cole Beasley, very successful in fantasy football for a lot of guys. People out there nodding their head like, yeah, I'm in a points per reception league, a PPR league, and Cole Beasley's big for me. Cole Beasley, if you're looking for value in your fantasy draft, he may have just slipped down the draft board based on some tweets that he sent yesterday, and they go a little something like this. This Players Association is a joke. Call it something different. It's not for the players. Everyone gives me the 98% of people who are vaccinated don't get COVID again. The odds of me getting in the NFL and playing for 10 years are lower than that, and I'm here. So what are we really talking about? I understand completely why the NFL is doing this. It gives them back the freedom to make the most money as possible again if everyone is vaccinated. But will everyone fight for the players or nah? That's all. I don't know who I need to talk to, but someone has to get it right. That's why I'm on here. Hopefully the people will see it and at least think about how all this NFLPA stuff works. It needs to be changed. End of tweet storm, which set off a firing squad on Cole Beasley from many people who were on the pro-vaccination side of things, and his attack of the NFLPA.
The only thing I have to say about this, and I said it yesterday, I don't care which side you are on. I don't. Because it's your decision. It's your body. It's the risk that you take if you don't get vaccinated. So I don't know why everyone on Twitter and social media feels holier than thou that they need to try to be the doctor or the expert for everyone else. It never makes sense to me. Just do your own thing. Make an informed decision for yourself or for your family and kids and move on with your life. Like, stop trying to be a dad or a mom to everyone else. And stop trying to act like you're a genius just because you're on Twitter. The barrier to entry is nothing. You just need an email from Gmail, and you can have a Twitter account. So stop acting like it takes some sort of accreditation to be an expert on Twitter. You dope. Like, just get over yourself and move on with your life. Like, we don't need to have all these people acting like they're medical experts telling everyone else what to do. Just shut your pie hole for Cole Beasley. He brings up some great points, though, in regards to the NFLPA. And I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again now. You're now seeing Joe Mixon, a running back, who is saying, wait a second, the NFLPA is supposed to be negotiating on our behalf. And it seems like they were negotiating on really with the NFL. It was, again, almost like that, hey, the offseason, it went exactly how we wanted. We got to negotiate our terms of working conditions and when we wanted to be there and when we didn't want to be there. But, oh, by the way, everyone needs to be vaccinated, whether you want to or not. Like, that was almost, you know, the kind of caveat to this entire offseason where the owners were like, yeah, that's fine. But we're gonna enforce that you guys need to be vaccinated. Otherwise, your life's going to be a living hell. And the unfortunate part is, even if the NFLPA believes and they look at the data and research and they say, well, look, we feel like this is what's best for our athletes, it doesn't matter because they need to be representing all of their athletes. There are so many policies, Jonas, that aren't good for the 90% of union members or NFLPA players. They're good for the 10%. or the 5% that can't help themselves. Yeah. That's why they're implemented, because they're for the people who can't help themselves. So yet in this case, and let's just say 90% of the players were vaccinated, which they're not. It's about half the players, a little more than half. But let's say it was 90%. You've now got 5 or 10% that are sitting there saying, we don't agree with this. Where's our protection? Where are you going to help us so we can make an informed decision, or we can be more patient with our decision, or maybe it's a religious, you know, belief, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But where's the union now? Nowhere. Because every single time, they just take it from the NFL. They do whatever the NFL says. They have no negotiating power, and they don't listen to their athletes, especially in instances like this, which, look, it's not necessarily about money. Maybe you could say this is a byproduct of a player being able to make money, but this is as important of a decision and a time for the PA to represent their players than ever before. And you're going to have a number of players who are upset by the agreement that they made with the NFL behind their backs.
And part of this is, if you're the NFLPA, you need to take on some uncomfortable encounters from time to time. It's almost like you're a defense attorney, to where, you know, people may be against the players in one way, shape, or form, but you're going to have their back, like the MLBPA, the MLB Players Association, which had the Astros back during a cheating scandal. Like, look, you think they wanted to take on that task, but no, they took on the task because that's their job. It feels like here, the NFLPA sort of went with whatever the way the crowd was going, and they kind of lost sight of the fact that they're supposed to be representing the players. My whole thing on just sort of this, you know, vaccine, not vaccine. Listen, I'm with you. I don't care if you're vaccinated. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what your political beliefs are. I don't care what your race is. I don't care about that stuff. I judge people based on who they are, not one tiny element of who they are. That's my philosophy. It's how I was raised. It's how I've always been. My whole thing is this gang mentality. It's the Bloods and the Crips or MS-13. Like, people, like, if you... It's the criticism of the people that are on the opposite side that bothers me. Like, if you don't believe in getting the vaccine, if you don't believe in getting the vaccine, and that's not something you want to go for whatever reason it is, it doesn't mean that you all of a sudden attack people who did want to get the vaccine and call them soft or weak or sheep because they, you know, whatever. And same goes for the other side. If you got the vaccine because you wanted to protect yourself and the people around you, and somebody that you're never going to run into or never, ever see in public ever decided they didn't want to get it because they didn't feel comfortable about it, it doesn't make them a scumbag. It doesn't make them reckless. It doesn't mean they think they know more than scientists. It's just a personal opinion and a personal viewpoint on this topic. And it feels like there's a gang mentality. You can go look through the mentions after Cole Beasley gave his opinion, and he got crushed for it. People right. calling him an idiot. People calling, oh, you're as dumb as you are short. You're like, it's crazy, because all he did was share his opinion about a topic in a league that he makes a living off of that's important. This is an important point for the NFLPA, and a lot of players, not just Cole Beasley or Joe Mixon, feel like they came up short in this regard, period.
Well, I think, I've been a part of this. I remember sitting in Seattle, and we had just redid our collective bargaining agreement back in 2011. And so this is 2 years later. All right, 2 years later, I'll remind you. And we're sitting in our it was an off-season meeting with the NFLPA. And you know what they didn't inform anyone of when they passed that CBA? They were going to have to take blood tests to test for HGH. The NFLPA had agreed to, once we got to a point where they feel like the tests were good enough, where they could determine whether or not someone was taking HGH, the NFLPA had said, okay, then at that point, we will agree to that within our collective bargaining agreement. So it ended up kicking in 2 years later. And so you sat there in a room full of, at that point in time, right, you've got, you know, however many players, 85 players or whatever there before we're heading into training camp. And you had the NFLPA standing there and telling everyone that. Guys went nuts. They were literally chewing out guys from the NFLPA. Players are up in arms. You know, Richard Sherman, who was in that room, who was very thoughtful and smart. And I actually think this was the catalyst to you know, put him in a position where I think he started to serve more, you know, for not necessarily for the NFLPA, but as a team rep and getting more involved in these sorts of things. He was like, well, how many times are we going to have to do this throughout the course of a year? And they couldn't give us any clarification because they didn't negotiate that into it. And so every single time the NFLPA wants to act like it knows what it's doing, it's at times it feels like the blind leading the blind. And I just sit there in the room. I just shake my head. And I'm like, all right, just give me my $10,000 T-shirt and let me go. Or my $15,000 T-shirt now, let me go. That was always our joke because, you know, besides, you know, the post-career player benefits and all this stuff, and I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek. But, you know, the PA would come by, you'd see one of the reps, and then you'd get a T-shirt in your locker. And you're like, oh, that's my $15,000 T-shirt. Because that's where my dues go for things that I'm not going to use now. Hopefully I'll be able to use in the future. But at this point in time, the majority of players, outside of their post-career player benefits, aren't going to have access or need for some of the other things that are going on that the NFLPA is spending money on. So the reality is, again, this has been going on for a long time. It's just sad that the general population and public feels the need to jump in on everyone else's personal decisions, which I'm still having a hard time understanding why they feel like it's any of their damn business.
Yeah, the whole thing is strange. It's bizarre. It just feels like people, like, you can't just have a nuanced conversation. You got to be on one side or the other, and you got to attack. It just, I don't get it, man. At some point, people are different. People believe different things. People are into different things. It's fine. It's not the end of the world. But unfortunately, this is the time and place, and this is what we've carved out for ourselves.
Like you think it's safe to go into any Chuck E. Cheese around the nation because you were the rat one time, right, at Chuck E. Cheese.
That's insulting.
You think it's safe to go in there in the ball pit. Meanwhile, that ball pit probably has as much of germs, viruses, bacteria as anyone you've ever seen.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. Listen, I used to have a guy. I'll tell this story after that. Listen, I'm a clock guy. I don't know about you, but I care about the clock here at Fox Sports Radio. All right, so I've got a story about one of the biggest scumbag moves I've ever seen at a Chuck E. Cheese. We will get to that next here. So the reason Brady Quinn made the joke about Chuck E. Cheese is in high school, I was the rat at Chuck E. Cheese. I'm not making up that story.
Can we actually dig into this story? Because I'm calling BS. Here's why. Why in God's name? And it's not like there wasn't other jobs out there. So why in God's name would you say, you know what, I need to get a job. I guess I'm just going to go to Chuck E. Cheese and be the rat. Like, you had to have been in your head thinking to the future and going, at some point in my life, I'm going to look back and either laugh or I'm going to be a stand-up comedian and make fun of this. You had to have had an ulterior motive to that.
Okay, so here was the idea behind the job. First of all, they paid better because back at that time, I think they paid, if I'm not mistaken, $6.15 an hour, which was a lot more than what other – it might have been $6.20 an hour. $6.20
an hour. Is this the 1980s? What are we talking about?
It's the 90s. It's the 90s.
Early 90s? I mean, it's like Nirvana playing in the background.
Late 90s. That was before – listen, there was a joke there I almost made that I would have made on the overnights, but I want to make that joke. Okay, I'll leave it alone. But there's – so it's the late 90s, and minimum wage was at a certain point, but they were offering higher than minimum wage. It was like $6.20 an hour. So I applied to Chuck E. Cheese because I had a buddy who worked there, and he said, I think you can get hired. The money was pretty good at that time. And so when you go there, you're not hired to be the rat. You're hired to work the game room or clean up birthday parties or run food or just, you know, bus tables. Like, there's, you kind of have to do it all. And then everybody takes turns from time to time being the rat for Chuck E. Cheese. And so, you know, they put me in the costume. I went out there one time, and you go on the blue screen, and I was doing all sorts of crazy dances, and they thought I was funny, so they had me be the rat from Chuck E. Cheese. And thus, I got stuck doing that. There's a picture of, what's her name? The Heather Locklear. She came in. Her kid had a birthday party there somewhere in the Locklear house. There's a picture of her kid at, like, his fifth birthday, and Chuck E. is being surrounded by the family. I'm the guy in the Chucky costume. I had to do a bachelorette party. The manager called me out. Some girls thought it would be funny to do their bachelorette party at a Chuck E. Cheese. That got a little out of line, but it was late on a Friday night, so we were able to get away with it, and it was the late 90s, so everything was fine. But point being, the scumbag portion of this story around Chuck E. Cheese that I teased is this. You mentioned the ball pits. I had another buddy that worked there. Full-blown scumbag. All right? Full-blown scumbag. At the end of the night when he was closing up, he used to go climb into the ball pits, and he would collect the change that had fallen out of kids' pockets while they were wrestling around in the ball pits. And he'd make a ton of cash. a ton. So that was his goal. When the manager wasn't looking, he would go into the ball pits after cleaning everything up and go through there on the bottom and collect all the change that had fallen out of kids' pockets. So there was probably a kid somewhere who was thinking to himself, man, you know, what happened to that $1.13 I had in my pocket? Now I'm not going to be able to go buy that pack of Bubblicious at the store tomorrow. And it was because my buddy had it in his pocket now because that kid fumbled it when he was playing around in the ball pits. Listen, some people recycle cans. Some people crawl through the ball pits and collect loose change, Brady Quinn. I don't know what to tell you. It's the way this thing goes.
I'm calling BS on this whole thing, okay? You cannot tell me there wasn't a Panera Bread or some other restaurant that wasn't equal pay that would have been better off instead of working at Chuck E. Cheese.
No, there wasn't. I'm telling
you.
This
is in Thousand Oaks, California.
Thousand Oaks, California.
Thousand Oaks, California.
Thousand
Oaks, California. The only thing they had that was offering employment was Chuck E. Cheese.
I'm telling you.
And you ended up being the rat.
I'm telling you, the money was better there because it had just opened up. It was better there than a lot of the other places that we went to work at. Listen, you're talking to a guy who's worked at everywhere from TGI Fridays to landscaping to painting curbs to being a janitor to being a busboy.
Okay, I worked at the Bogey Inn for one of my first jobs. Think about that name of place.
Boy, rough life on the golf course. You don't know what it's like to be dressed up like
that's
a stuffed animal.
That's not a golf course at all.
Let me tell you something.
Not a golf course at all. Hey, in fact, that's not even close to a golf course,
Let me tell
you
something. All right, you don't know what it's like to be dressed up like a giant stuffed animal and have some kid hit you in the balls. All right, you have no idea what that's like. I know what that life is like.
I do not know what that's like.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's excruciating.
That is only for you, but we're only being able to believe in this because we've never seen any sort of a W-2 or employment status. We're going to have to look into this. I'm just letting you know right now.
All right. Well, listen, I'm letting you know the truth here. All right. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. This is Fox Sports Radio. Thank you for hanging out with us here as also on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up next, though, something in sports. I can't believe this is actually happening. And there is a hypocritical element to it that involves an entire league. We'll get into that next year on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Brady Quinn, are you familiar with the Sons in Four guy?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, the guy who went viral.
Yes.
For essentially now, I know the whole backstory. He was a Phoenix Suns fan. However, he was living in Denver at the time.
Yes.
And a couple of guys started to, as the kids would say, flex on him.
Yeah.
By showing off multiple watches on one wrist. I don't know why you need multiple watches on your wrist and some of their gold chains and whatnot. And he had, I guess, got a little mouthy or it said something as they were walking up the aisle. That is my understanding of how this altercation took place.
Yeah, and so he proceeded to beat the hell out of them. And the best part about it was he had like the old hockey move where he pulls the jersey over the head, and it was just uppercut central, and busted these kids up pretty good. And he held up the four fingers, and it went viral and all that. All right, so. Listen, I thought it was a great story. It was funny to watch and all that stuff. And you don't condone violence, but here's what I definitely don't condone. That guy's got an action figure now. The Suns and Four guy has an action figure, all right? Literally, full action figure. Same outfit, the four fingers being held up like he was a member of the Four Horsemen back in the 80s with Ric Flair. You've got the packaging, all of that. This guy gets an action figure, all right? Why can't I get an action figure? Okay, yeah. Nobody can put one together. Come on, Brady.
It's a good question.
BS.
It's a good question. I'm trying to really think about why you'd need one or should have one, but I guess I'll start off by saying this: you'd have to have a mic somewhere around you, like
yes.
That might be your weapon, if you
agreed.
Will, or maybe
agreed.
Your ability to defend yourself.
100%
would
agreed.
Be this mic.
Yes.
And it couldn't be like a headset mic. It would have to be one of those like standard dynamic mics
damn
that you
right.
think about
yeah.
when you think about a national radio show host.
You know, the ones that make you sound like this, you know.
Yeah, those ones.
Yeah.
And then obviously your facial hair, which is usually pretty well groomed. I mean, there's not too many people who are as meticulous about their facial hair as yours. Here's the problem about you having an action figure, okay? Many people have said, and they've told me this, you look like you could have been in one of the first Supermans as one of the villains.
Thank you.
Again, I forget what planet they're from. I'm not a geek. I'm not into that
yeah.
stuff. But you do look like you could have been one of those yeah. villains from one of the original Supermans. So you'd have to be a villain. Like, you'd have to be a bad guy, most likely. You've kind of got that bad guy look to you.
Thank you.
You typically wear all black. You typically have what looks like to be a helmet on your head, even though it's really just gelled down hair.
You know, this is just like, it's like we've got a pinata over my head and all the compliments are just raining down every time you take a swing. This is unbelievable. It's great that I can feel this good heading into the weekend from my partner here. My sidekick, the guy that I've been doing this with
yeah.
for like five,
yeah,
6 years now.
It's been great.
I get to be reminded that I look like some Hot Topic knockoff from the Superman movies. And I believe the planet that they come from is Planet Screw You. Is that actually the name of the planet. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Now, let me ask you, okay, did you have an action figure at any point? Did you have a starting lineup figure?
Oh, gosh, yeah. No, there was actually someone actually sent it to me the other day. I forget, they bought it for like $9, and I was like, you just got ripped off by $8.99.
Awesome. Yeah. You don't think that's awesome?
No, I was never into that, never wanted that when I was really a kid or when I got older. That's what makes this weird is at your age, you still want an action figure of yourself. That is just odd to me.
It's not that I want it. It's that I don't want him to have it. That's the problem.
I mean, it looked like he had superpowers. When he had the kid bent over and he's got his hand on his back,
yes.
He'd hit the kid so many times where, like, he didn't want any more.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not trying to make light of this guy because a lot of people who haven't seen it, they're going to think he's, like, bullying these two younger kids. The reality is these two kids try to sucker punch him. They yeah. actually came and attacked him, and then he slapped them around a little bit to the point where they didn't even want to fight back.
They looked
like they wanted no part of this. I don't know, man. It seems kind of deserving of an action figure.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. After this news, after what I've seen now, that guy getting an action figure, I'm on the side of the other two guys. All right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on
their
side.
You're gonna wear four watches
yeah.
now?
Yeah, damn right. Only at the urinal. All right. We're back next.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.